Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Today, as you're having a seat, get your Bibles and go with me to Romans, the fifth chapter. We've been going through the book of Romans verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept. We found out that there's some good news for us. And that is the gospel, that Jesus Christ came and that he died for our sins. And now we can have life in him. And it's the very power of God unto salvation for all who would believe. But in order to fully understand the good news, we had to hear the bad news, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's why we were in this predicament of needing a Savior, was because we were sinful and separated from the very life of God. But through faith, we found out that we can be connected with the very life that God has for each and every one of us. And then here in Romans chapter 5, we start to hit a turning point in this book. Now all of a sudden, starts to talk more about the life that we're living and what this really means for each and every one of us. Last time together, Pastor Paul did such a great job. Didn't Pastor Paul do a great job last week talking about Romans chapter 5, 3 through 5? How hope does not disappoint, that the things and the trials that we go through produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. That now we can have a hope that doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. Now I want to take you to Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 5. We're going to take a look at this, and I want to talk to you about the mother of all virtues this weekend. Mother Teresa said the mother of all virtues is humility. Cicero considered it to be gratitude. Modern thinkers have cited that prudence or moderation are where other virtues flow from. And while I'm not in disagreement that from these virtues produce other good things in our lives, I believe that the scripture points us to the true mother of all virtues. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5, it says this. It says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. I want you to notice that right here, it shows us where all of this stuff comes from. And that is the love of God. Notice, if you will, that there's a correlation in the scriptures. You find this in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. As well, you find this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. There's a principle. These three abide: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And here we can see this in Romans chapter number 4 and chapter number 5. Romans chapter 4 talks about faith. But then when we get to chapter number 5, it talks about a hope that does not disappoint. But again, the greatest of these is love. Right here we see it. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. See, everything in our lives should flow from the love of God. If it's not flowing from the love of God, then where is it flowing from? Is it flowing from your own thinking? From your own mind, from your own power, your own strength? No. Everything in our lives should flow from the love of God. When we read Romans chapter 5, verse number 5, and it talks about how the love of God has been poured out in our hearts, that word poured out could also be translated shed abroad. Some of your translations might say that his love has been shed abroad in our hearts. This word in the original language literally means a pouring forth, a spilling out, or a dispersing in abundance. You see, God's love has been poured forth, dispersed in abundance, and shed abroad in the hearts of believers. And in the midst of the trials that we're going through, there's a rushing river of the divine love flowing from within you. Rick Renner, who's a pastor in Moscow, as well as a prolific author and a Greek scholar, he said this of this love. He said, it supernaturally becomes stronger and more committed the longer it takes to get through to the heart of the one who is loved. This is a miraculous love, a love that transforms and changes people's lives. Everything should flow from this place of love. When I think about this pouring forth, I think about the time that we took our kids to the water park that's over there in San Dimas. Right in the middle of that water park, they had these big trellises and these big ladders that went up and stairways, and there was all these slides coming out of this main thing right there in the center. But then right at the top, in the center of that big area, was a big bucket, bright yellow, had a big red pin going through the center of it, and it was kind of teetering back and forth. And you could tell that they had it weighted, and there was water that was pouring into this bucket, and the water was causing that bucket to kind of teeter back and forth and back and forth. You could see a little bit spill out every now and then. And there were these little kids that understood what was about ready to take place, and they stood in a spot underneath that bucket, and there were splash pads all around them, and they were just stomping their feet on the splash pads, getting wet, but they were looking up, anticipating what was about ready to take place, because they knew that water was going to fill up, and something was about ready to happen. They're shoving each other out of the way. No, get out of here. I want it. No, you get out of here. I want it. And they're just squealing with delight until all of a sudden, that bucket filled up, and it tilted over, and all the thousands of gallons of water that were inside of it poured out and totally drenched those kids, much to their delight. That's the picture that I get when I think about the love of God has been shed abroad in the hearts of the believers, that we can anticipate and just sit there stomping and excited and squealing with joy. Why? Because God is getting ready to pour out in your life the love of God for your situation. You don't have to face the future with fear. No, hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been filled up to the full measure in Christ Jesus. And now the Holy Spirit has been unleashed. That river of living water has been unleashed on your soul. And God has shed his love abroad in our hearts. He's pouring it out like that big bucket at the water park. You see, love changes everything. See, we were in a position of death. We were in a position of separation. And yet the love of God changed our position. It was through love that Jesus came down from the heavens. It was through love that he ministered to the sick and the hurting, that he healed the broken heart, that he bore long with that generation, that he developed their faith, and that he eventually went to the cross. It was love that nailed him to the cross, not a Roman soldier and not a Jewish Sanhedrin. No, it was the love of God that bound him to that cross. He said, I lay down my life and I'll take it up again. And it was all for love. Greater love has no man than this. Then he laid down his life for his friends. And Jesus laid down his life out of love for you and for me and for all of humanity. You see, love changes everything. It was that love that moved the heart of God. And now that love, that same love in Christ, is now being shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Some of you parents know this, that when you get married and, you know, you love one another, something takes place out of that love. You start to produce, and the babies come. I remember when my first child came, oh, my goodness, it changed my life. Then I had the second child, and where I thought, man, how could I love another baby as much as I love this first one? It was almost like a room opened up in my heart, and now all of a sudden I found a new depth of love for that second child, and then eventually the third child. In fact, having children changes everything. Having multiple children changes. In fact, I want to read to you something about the changes that take place in a mom's heart with the first, the second, and the third child. First thing, ladies, that changes is your clothes, right? First baby, you begin wearing maternity clothes as soon as the doctor confirms a pregnancy. Second baby, you wear your regular clothes for as long as possible. Third baby, your maternity clothes are your regular clothes. Preparing for the birth. First baby, you practice your breathing religiously. Second baby, you don't bother practicing because you remember that last time breathing didn't do a thing. Third baby, you ask for an epidural in your eighth month. Come on, just put it in now. Baby's clothes. First baby, you pre-wash your newborn's clothes, color coordinate them, fold them neatly in the baby's little bureau. Second baby, you check to make sure that the clothes are clean and discard only the ones with the darkest stains. Third baby, boys can wear pink, right? That's okay. Worries, how about this? First baby, at the first sign of distress, a whimper, a frown, you pick the baby up and you hold it tight. Second baby, you pick up the baby when their wails threaten to wake up your firstborn. Third baby, you teach your three-year-old how to rewind the mechanical swing. Hey, come on, just go take care of the swing for me. What about the pacifier? Some of you guys call it the passy. Some of you guys call it the dummy. We called it the nini in our house. First baby, the pacifier falls on the floor. You put it away until you can go home and wash it and boil it. Make sure to sanitize it and sterilize it before it goes back in the baby's mouth. Second baby, when the pacifier falls on the floor, you squirt it off with some juice from the baby's bottle, and then you reinsert. Third baby, you wipe it off on your shirt, and you just pop it in. Or if you're a dad, you just, right? How many dads? It's like a giraffe's mouth, right? There's got to be antibiotic principles somewhere in there. Just, here you go, kid. Diapering. First baby, you change your baby's diapers every hour, whether they need it or not. Second baby, you change their diaper every 2 to 3 hours, if needed. Third baby, you try to change their diaper before others start to complain about the smell or you see it sagging down to their knees. You know that kid, don't you? Activities. First baby, you take your infant baby to baby gymnastics, baby swing, baby story hour. Second baby, you take your infant to baby gymnastics. Third baby, you take your infant to the supermarket and the dry cleaner. Come on, kid, you're going. Going out. First baby, first time you leave your baby with a sitter, you call home 5 times in 1 hour. Second baby, just before you walk out the door, you remember to leave a number where you can be reached. Third baby, you leave instructions for the sitter to call only if they see blood. How about at home? Things change at home. First baby, you spend a good bit of every day just gazing at the baby. I remember when our firstborn was born, we stopped watching TV, we watched the baby. Second baby, you spend a bit of time every day watching to be sure your older child isn't squeezing, poking, or hitting the baby. Third baby, you spend a little bit of each day hiding from the children. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It changes. It changes. Love changes everything. See, when troubles are poured on the outside of us, remember that the love of God is being poured on the inside of us. That changes the game. That changes everything in our life. It's the fuel of our faith. It's the fountainhead of our hope. It's the crafter of our character. It's the lever that opens the door to life. It changes our trials into triumphs. It changes our pain into progress. It turns our sorrow into smiles. See, the love of God changes everything. Turn me to the book of Ephesians. By the way, that was a good place to say amen and clap, but y'all missed it, all right? So I'm going to just help you guys out a little bit today. Ephesians chapter number 3, the Apostle Paul is writing. In fact, he's praying for the church at Ephesus. He's praying for their lives. He's praying the will of God into their lives. And as he's praying for them, he starts to pray an amazing prayer, Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 19. And he prays that they would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. I just want to pause for a second and just remind you the correlation of Romans chapter 5, verse number 5, how the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And here in Ephesians, he's praying something, that they would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that they might be filled with all the fullness of who? God. That's the Holy Spirit right there. That's the way God fills us presently, is he fills us with his Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that fills our life. And so he says, I want you to know the love of Christ, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. But look at the next verse, verse 20. It says, now to him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Now, we want God to do something in our lives. We want God to move. We want God to change things. And we want the love of God to change things in our life, but we don't know how to get a hold of it. But notice he says, according to the power that works where? In us. The love of God is at work in you. It's been shed abroad, poured forth. It is the rushing river that is flowing through your lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you want change, it comes through the love of God. Because why? The love of God has been shed abroad, poured forth, poured out. It is a rushing river that's moving in and through your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the power that's working in us. I need change, God. I need you to move. I need you to do something. God says, flow in my love. Let it flow from your lives. You're going to see the change that you need, and it all comes through the love of God. This power is that very power of love. It is miraculous. It's exceedingly abundant power. It's that love that was poured out that changes the way we live life. No longer do you have to live life powerless, broken down. No, you have the supreme power of the universe. Why? Because God himself is love, and the Holy Spirit is God. That means that you have the Spirit of God. You have the very Spirit of love himself brought into your life, and now that Spirit of God is moving in your life. You can operate in the supreme and power of love that's been poured out in you. That means that you have the power to love God where you couldn't love God the way you needed to. You have the power to overcome sin through the love of God. You have the power to defeat the devil. You have the power to love your neighbor when they're unlovable. You have the power to overlook an offense and to cover for the sin of others. It's through the not through willpower, but through God's love power that we can live the life that God wants us to live. Only through the love of God. Why? Because in love, God gave us himself. Best gift that God could ever give you was not power, not wisdom, not wealth, not gold, not silver, not rubies or pearls. It wasn't friends or comfortable surroundings. No, no, no. The best gift that God could ever give was himself. Think about what he said to Abraham. He said, Abraham, don't be afraid. I am your son. I am your shield. But he didn't stop there. He said, I am your what? Your exceeding great reward. The psalmist said, whom have I in heaven besides you? There's none on earth a desire but you. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my life and my heart and my portion forever. God himself is the reward of our lives. The best gift God could ever give is himself. And that's why Jesus said, I don't leave you orphans. No, I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit. I'm not leaving you alone. You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit of God. God is Spirit. And in love, God gave us all of himself. He may not have all of you yet, but at the moment of salvation, you have all of God. There might be places you need to surrender. You might need to let the love of God flow in your life where you've been holding back. God says, just surrender. I love you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to worry. If you will yield to my love, then guess what? You're going to have a greater measure and a greater understanding of who I am, because I am love. And when you let me love you, that's the greatest expression right there. God wants to move in and through your life. And in love, God gives you himself. 1 John chapter number 4, take a look at it with me. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. You can read along whatever translation you have, but I'll put it up on the overheads if you'd like to read along. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 11 starts out, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other." Verse 12, "No one has ever seen God." Why? Because God is invisible. He lives in the spirit realm. God is spirit. No one's ever seen God. But if we love each other, look at this. God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. How did Jesus say that people would know that we're his disciples? If we have love for one another. Not if we can quote a scripture. The devil can quote scriptures. Not if we can preach. Listen, there's wolves in sheep's clothing that will preach for their own gain. Not everybody who preaches is a Christian. Not if we go to church. Not everybody who goes to church is a Christian. Not if we carry a Bible. Anybody can carry a Bible. There's only one way people are going to know if the love of God is in your heart, and that is if that love of God is expressed through your life. Because when God gives you himself, and when he fills you, and when he sheds his love abroad in your heart, whatever's on the inside of you, when you're squeezed by life, when somebody's rude, when somebody's mean, when they cut you off on the 10 freeway, and they tell you you're number one, and it's not the pointer finger. Listen, whatever's happening in your life, whatever jolting and jarring, you can endure it, you can persevere, and the character of God is being developed in you, and your hope of salvation, your hope of glory, your hope of one day, I'm going to go be with Jesus. Guess what? It does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God is flowing in your life. That's what this is all about. So if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Verse 13, "And God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us." Once again, I want to draw your attention to the correlation between the love of God and the Spirit of God. Because God is love. Now that he lives in you, love lives in you. And if Jesus is living his life in and through your life, then the love of God will be expressed. People are going to see it. They're going to take note. They're going to say, hey, those other people that call themselves Christians, they're mean. I don't like them. I don't want to go to their church. But when they see a Christian that genuinely loves, where do you go? To church? What do you have that's different in your life? Hey, could you pray for me? I'm going through a hard time, and the love of God is now being expressed through your life. There was a young mother who was making her way across the hills of South Wales in England, carrying her tiny baby in her arms when she was overtaken by a blinding blizzard. She never reached her destination. When the blizzard had subsided, her body was found by searchers beneath a mound of snow. But they discovered that before her death, she had taken off all of her outer clothing and wrapped it around her baby. When they unwrapped the child, to their surprise and joy, they found that he was alive and well. She had mounted her body over his body and given her life for her child, proving the depths of her motherly love. Years later, that child, by the name of David Lloyd George, grown to manhood, became the Prime Minister of Great Britain and without a doubt one of England's greatest statements. Because of the love of his mother, he now lived a life of service for others. Because of that sacrifice that was given in love, because she covered her child, now all of a sudden he could come and cover others. And in the same way in our lives, if we allow the love of God to cover us, to fill us, to flood us, and to flow through us, then guess what? Our lives are going to be a life like Jesus's, of sacrificial love for the people around us. You may say, Pastor, I can't stand them. Pastor, you don't know how much they've wronged me. You don't know what they've done. They don't deserve love. Neither did we, and yet God still died for us. We're going to see it in Romans chapter number 5. And it's only by the love of God that we can live a life of love for people that don't deserve it. People who don't look like us, act like us, think like us. People who are doing the wrong thing. People who will even persecute you. If you let love lead, then you can love the unlovable. You can do the impossible. And you can see God do the miraculous in your life and in the life of others. It's only by the love of God, because love is the supreme power of the universe. This is the love of God for us in Christ. Everything flows from it, and it changes everything because it flows from the Holy Spirit, God Himself living in and through us. Would you bow your heads with me today, and would you close your eyes? And let's just take a moment in the presence of God. And let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come and flood our hearts and our lives with His love. Ask Him, say, God, what are You speaking to me? And then just listen for His voice. What is God speaking to you? Maybe today you're feeling the love of God just flood your hearts. Holy Spirit is just making known His presence. You might have felt that word when I mentioned it from the scripture that Jesus said, I don't leave you orphans. That might have hurt your heart because you feel like you're alone. Today the Holy Spirit is letting you know you're mine, but also I'm yours. You're not alone. You have the love of the Father. You have the love of Christ. And even the love of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible tells us that we came from God. And His character is shown in male and female, how He created them in His image. And even that motherly love is an image of God's love. Holy Spirit is just showing you that embrace, that nurture, and that care. What's God speaking to you? Maybe today God is talking about the changes that His love is going to make in your life. He's showing you the power that's working in you and how it can flow through you to others. What's God speaking to you? Maybe today God is showing you that He's with you. He gave you Himself. Greatest gift He could ever give is His Holy Spirit. And that love is now flooding your heart for others. Where you couldn't forgive in love, now you're forgiving. Where you didn't see a way forward, now the love of God is showing you a way forward. Holy Spirit's moving in your life, just speaking things. You write it down. If you got a word, a scripture, even a process or something God's telling you to do, write that down. You don't want to forget it. Last week I was up with Pastor Luke. They're doing great up there. And I peeked in while I was in between services what was going on here at The Rock. And I saw people posting in the comment section what God was doing in their life. So encouraging. Even online, if you want to post it in the comment section, if it's appropriate, you can do that at this time. So encouraging. Maybe you're here with a faithful friend, a spouse, someone that you trust. You just want to whisper in their ear, hey, God spoke this to me. Maybe you want to show them the note that you wrote. God spoke this to me. It brings accountability, but it also brings agreement. There's tremendous power when we agree. Once again, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Jesus and the love that bled on our behalf. We thank You that You didn't leave us as orphans, but that God, You're here with us. You gave us Your Spirit, and He's shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. It's been poured out. It's that mighty rushing river that all of our life flows from. It changes everything, God, because You gave us Yourself. So, God, we walk in Your Spirit and in Your power to love the unlovable, God, not condemning them to death, but loving them to life. We love You, Lord, because You first loved us. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. We're all in agreement. We say amen, amen, amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise today. Hallelujah. Hey, before we leave this place, I just want to take a moment because the most important part of this church service is not about finances. It's not about birthdays. It's not about graduations. It's not about the different ministries that we've discussed or even Mother's Day, even though we honor the mothers and we love the mothers. The most important thing is your eternity. Somebody in this place, if today was your last day and you died, you wouldn't make it to heaven, but you'd end up in hell. I don't want that for you. You don't want that for you. More than both of us, God doesn't want that for you. That's why He sent Jesus, beaten, bloody, and hung on the cross. because he loved you so much that he didn't want to have eternity without you. Many times people have the wrong idea about getting to heaven. They think all roads are to heaven. Jesus went to the cross, everybody goes to heaven. Not true. That is not what the Bible says. Because why would there even be a hell if everybody went to heaven? Well, it's for the devil, it's for the demons, that sort of thing. Absolutely it is, but it's also for those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want to make sure that if you died, you wouldn't die and go to hell. Hell's a real place. And listen, God loves us enough to give us a free will choice. Because if it wasn't free will, would it really be love? No. And for people that reject God, God says, okay, I love you enough to give you what you want. You don't have to be with me. You can be separate from me. That's death. Death is separation. You know, when you die, you live on. The real you on the inside, the spirit that lives on the inside of you, that lives in your body, lives on for eternity. And the only one of two places you're going to end up, either heaven or hell. Not everyone goes to heaven. Not all roads lead to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's God's way. Sometimes you think, well, Pastor, I know God's way is by being good. I've been a good person, done a lot of good deeds, given money to charities, been nice to my neighbors. I believe that I've been good enough. I used to be bad, but I cleaned up my act. I'm done any of the big sins, you know. I'm better than the next guy. They're going to go to hell. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm going to go to heaven, right? Wrong. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible says you can be good enough to earn your way into heaven? You can't be good enough. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No matter how good or bad you think you are, in God's eyes, sin is sin. And sin is separation. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. We've all sinned, and so therefore we're all separated from God. It's not a grading scale. There's no line, no curve that you have to be above in order to get into heaven. No, you can't be good enough. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short. You're not going to make it to heaven by being good. Sometimes we think, well, I was raised in church, Pastor. My parents told me we were Christians growing up. Maybe they hung a cross or a St. Christopher on your neck, had you baptized or christened as a child. You went to religious classes like Sunday school, Sabbath school, maybe catechism class. Many times people think because they have a t-shirt that says Jesus or a tattoo with a scripture verse on it, or because they're not some other religion, that by default God lumps them in the category of being a Christian, headed for heaven and denying hell. Nothing could be further from the truth. You're not going to make it to heaven because of your family association, your location, the jewelry you wear, the classes you take, the religious rituals you're involved, or a tattoo or a t-shirt. It's not going to get you into heaven. There's no default settings. There's only one way to heaven, God's way. Oh, Pastor, I know God's way is not just by, you know, being raised in church, but I'm in church right now. You don't have to worry about me. I'm here. I'm watching online. I'm a Christian. You know, nowhere in the Bible says sit in church, call yourself a Christian, that makes you Christian. It's like me saying I want to be a Dodger, and so I go to Dodger Stadium, wear a Dodger uniform, bring my bat and my ball, and expect to play in the game because I'm sitting in the dugout calling myself a Dodger. You know what's going to happen? They're going to find me sitting there and drag me out and lock me up. Why? Because I'm not a member of the Dodgers organization. Never will be. Same way you can't just sit in church and say, I'm a Christian, that makes you a Christian. It's not going to make it. And I love you enough, respect you enough, and honor you enough today to tell you the truth. Sometimes you say, well, okay, Pastor, don't worry about me, though. You know, my last church I got involved. I didn't just sit. I helped out, sang in the choir, carried the pastor's Bible, made decisions. People thought of me as a leader, even got a membership card to the church, taught the Bible classes. It's great. Glad you did those things. Show that to me in the Bible. It's not there. God's not looking for your volunteer hours or a membership card to a church like some bank commercial saying, well, it's in your wallet, before you can enter the gates of heaven. It's not going to make it. Come on, let's cut the baloney. Let's talk about your eternal life. Some of you think, well, Pastor, okay, don't worry about me. I know God. I know about Jesus. Know about Easter and the resurrection. Sing the songs of Christmas every year of my life. I could quote scriptures to you, Pastor, Old and New Testament. Great. Glad you can do that. So can the devil. You'll find that in the gospel, devil quoting scriptures. Demons believe and they tremble because they know they're not going to make it. Everybody look up here for a second, even online, look at your screen. This is not about what you have up here in your head. It's not about having a mental acknowledgement of who God is, knowing the scripture, being able to quote. It's not about what you've done out here with your hands, your good deeds, your church attendance, or involvement. But rather, you still watching? It's about your heart. Jesus was speaking to a religious leader of his day by the name of Nicodemus. Good guy, did a lot of good deeds, raised up in his church called the synagogue. He could quote the scripture, he could debate the scripture, he could sing the scripture. How many of us could do that? People looked to him to find out about God. He was a teacher of Israel. And yet, when Jesus talks to him, he doesn't pat him on the back and say, Nick, man, hey, you're doing so good. You're so cool. Just keep doing what you're doing. I'll see you in heaven. No, rather, what does he say? He says, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Blew his mind. He thought he had to do something, had to be something, had to say something. No, you must be born again. Now, I know our society's made a mockery out of that term. They've raked it through the coals. Let's not let them define for us what being born again is. Let's let the Bible do that for us, shall we? All throughout the Bible, being born again is a simple surrender. It means that you've given to God all of your heart and you've given to God all of your life. Remember, we said that death is separation. But being born again is a reconnection. It's true and eternal life where you are dead, separated from the life of God in your sin. Now God makes you brand new, not on the outside. Listen, it's Mother's Day. Mamas don't want babies crawling back in and coming back out. It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about something on the inside of you, a spiritual birth and renewal that takes place on the inside, that God reconnects you with the life of God for eternity. It's not just a prayer. Sometimes people say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. Listen, it's not just that prayer. It's not just rote words that you say and poof, magical, abracadabra, now you become a Christian. No, it's a surrender of your heart and your life. And it's a daily thing. It's a lifelong thing. Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. That means that even if you mess up, you get up, you dust off, and you keep going with God. Don't let anything stop you from this life. Sometimes people are afraid to commit because they've been such a screw-up. Let me clean up my act, and then I come to God. No, you come to God, I'll clean you up from the inside out. And even if you mess up, guess what? There's love, there's mercy, there's forgiveness available for you, and there's strength to move forward each new day. God will never give up on you. Don't ever give up on him. You need to give God all of your heart. You need to give God all of your life. It's a simple surrender. The Bible tells us that if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. It's a simple prayer to invite Jesus in your heart that starts this lifelong journey of surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. God will make you brand new, born again, and you can live your life for him for the rest of your days on the earth into eternity. I want to lead you in that prayer today, and I want to know who I'm praying with. And so in a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. And when I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang, just like that. If you want to be included in that prayer, all you got to do is just simply raise your hand. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. You put it right back down. You might be thinking, whoa, wait a second. Time out, Pastor. If I raise my hand, you point and count, I'll be embarrassed. Yeah, you might be. That's okay. Think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment than to end up in hell forever? No one make that trade. A moment of possible embarrassment for an eternity away from God? Come on. Yet the devil thinks you're a fool. He's trying to talk you out of this right now. He's trying to kill you. He wants to destroy your life. That's why he's lying to you, saying you don't need to do this. Just sit there and do nothing. Ignore those feelings. Ignore your heart beating out of your chest right now. That's just simple manipulation. That pastor's a liar. Listen, I'm not manipulating nothing. But I am laying it on thick. Why? Because I love you enough to tell you the truth. I don't want to see you go to hell. You don't want to see you go to hell. But more than both of us, God doesn't want to see you go to hell. Tell that devil, go jump in a fiery lake. You're not going with him. You're going to go on with God today. Because you're not getting another shot of this, not coming back as a dog or a frog, working your way up being a human, get another shot. No, you've got one life to live this life. And don't think you've got more time. Sometimes people say, I'll make a deathbed confession. Yeah, that's great. When is that? Next week? Next year? 20 years from now? You got an appointment calendar scheduled with God? It doesn't work like that. We don't know our last day on the earth. We're all one accident, one incident, one virus, one breath, one bomb away from eternity. We could be gone. Listen, Jesus could come back at any time. Wrap this thing up. Are you prepared for his coming? No man knows the day or the hour, but the Bible does say we will know the times and the seasons, and he's coming soon. We need to be ready for his return. And if you aren't ready, count the cost. Can you afford eternity in hell? I can't. And I know you can't either. You need to surrender all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus Christ. In a moment, like I said, I'm going to count to three. Pop my hand on this microphone. You need to get your hand up. Why do you got to do that? Because Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me, I will deny you. Today, your call. Today, your choice. You can sit there and do nothing. Or how about this? Get right with God today. Make the right choice. Who should raise your hand if you've been running from God instead of to God? I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure about your salvation? Make sure today. Who should raise your hand if you've never done this before, never given God all of your heart, never given God all of your life? I'm speaking to you. Or finally, who should raise your hand? Maybe you're lukewarm, half-hearted in this place. Maybe you backslid. One time you're on fire for God, but you know what that means. You backslid. Found yourself in places you never thought you'd be, doing things you never thought you'd do. You're ashamed. But guess what? It doesn't matter what you were doing last week or even last night. God says, come to me. Come to me. One of the prophets said, come, let us return to the Lord, for we'll find mercy with him. God is here with open arms, the love of a father, with the care of a mother, saying, come, come, I'll clean you up. I'll clean you up if you just come to me. Humble yourself and come. Today, it's your day of salvation. If you know that's you, I'm going to get ready to pop my hand on this microphone. Get ready to get your hands up. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high for me right now. There's one, two, three, four. Got you. Five, six, way up on top. I got you guys. Seven over here. Yep, got you right there. Thank you. God bless you. There's seven wise people. Who else today? Need to give God all of your heart? Need to give God all of your life. Eight up on top. I got you in the back there. Yes. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? You need to give God all of your heart? You need to give God all of your life. Just want to make sure. I know a lot of people left so they could beat the Baptist to the Mother's Day brunch, but you're here. God is speaking to you right now. Come on. Hey, there's a little hand right there. I see you. God bless you. There's nine. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. That's good. It's good. They'll remember that, Mama. That's what you want, is a tender heart that says, yeah, me. Praise God. But listen, if you're an adult in this place, you feel that tug, don't be prideful. Don't be stubborn. I got you. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Wonderful. 10 wise people. Who else? Anybody else? Just want to make sure. Want to make sure. You need to surrender to God all of your heart. You need to surrender to God all of your life. If that's you, come on. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. If he's tugging at your heartstrings right now, come on. Just surrender. It's a simple surrender. It's a simple surrender. Anybody else? There's 10 wise people. Just want to give you one more opportunity, one more moment. Anybody else? All right, let's give the Lord a hand for 10 wise people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's all stand together. Those of you that raised your hand, remember, I want to lead you in a simple prayer, a simple confession. You don't get saved by raising your hand. You got to give God all of your heart. You got to give God all of your life. And it's a simple surrender. If you believe with your heart and confess through your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, I want to pray with you right here at the altar. Something special about coming to the altar. So I'm going to invite you to just slip out of your seat, get your stuff. Get a friend of your friend. Parents, if your children raise your hand, bring them. They'll remember this. Children, if your parents raise your hand, come with them, all right? Don't get left behind. Just get out of your seat, get in now, and meet us up front right now. Come on, let's welcome them, church. Let's welcome them. If you raise your hand, or you should have raised your hand, get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet us up front right now. Come on down. Come on down. Not the time to leave. Come on, let's let them come right now. Come on down. Come on down. Come on, they're coming. They're coming.
Jesus Christ, come to.
Come on, if you need to come, get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet us up front right now. Come on down. There's more of you that need to come, even if you didn't raise your hand. Get out of your seat. Come on, slip in the aisle and come forward. Just say, come on. Let me through right now. I'm gonna just go. Just come on. Tell your neighbor, come on, let me through. I need to come. More of you need to come. Just come on right now. Come on down. Come on, church. Let's encourage them. Nudge your neighbor and say, come on, friend. If you need to go, I'll go with you. I'll be strong if you're weak right now. Come on, bring them. Bring them right now. They're still coming. Come on, they're coming. Let's keep it going for them. That's you. Come on, get out of your seat. Get in the aisle and meet us up front right now. They're still coming.
The precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Well, I want to respect time, but I don't think I see everybody that raised their hand come forward. And Jesus, the good shepherd, left the 99 to go find the one. Maybe today you raised your hand because of something going on in your life and you said, oh, but I don't want to walk down there in front of all these people. Listen, don't let shame or fear hold you back. If you heard, we were clapping. We weren't like, boo, how dare you? No. There's nothing but love here. There's nothing but the beautiful, wonderful acceptance of God. Listen, God may not approve of the things that you're ashamed of and that you've done. It's all right, though, because we're all there. But God does accept and says, come to me. You know what he said? If anyone comes to me, I will in no wise cast him out. God's not a trickster. He's a good father. We may know the love of a good father. We may not know the love of a good father. But remember that God is the perfect father. God alone is good. Where you felt the rejection of man, or maybe you felt the approval and the comfort of man, God's love is greater. Today, if you need to come, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. I can just sense in my spirit the shepherd, Jesus, is just going after his sheep right now. Maybe you're feeling lost. Maybe you're broken. And you know who you need to come. Just get out of your seat. Get in now and meet us up front right now. Last call. Just come right now. Slip out of your seat. Get in now and meet us up front. Come on.
Come on.
Come on, just come.
Open wide, forgiveness was.
They're coming. Come on, you need to come.
The precious blood of Jesus Christ.
They're coming. coming. Come on, you can come too. There's more. You need to come. Come on, anybody else? Just come. Come on. This is your time. This is your time. Come on. They're still coming. Come on. Anybody else? Come on. Come on. If you need to come, just come right now. Come on. They're still coming. They're still coming. Appropriate. We had three more ladies come up. It's Mother's Day weekend. You're never going to forget that. It's a beautiful time to come. Give your heart and life to the Lord. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer to invite Jesus in your heart to be born again, made brand new. Making a commitment today is the start of a long journey the rest of your life. There's no commitment worth anything without consistency. And so I want to encourage you to keep coming. Keep coming to church. Keep praying. Keep talking to God. Keep listening to the voice of God, following what He says. Get into the Bible. You don't have to read the whole thing in a day, man. Just get a little scripture. Get a little bit that just speaks to your heart. Add that to your life daily. Keep getting built up. Because as you do, as you stay consistent in your commitment, next year, Mother's Day, you're going to look at your life and say, wow, look at what the Lord has done. It's going to be an amazing transformation. I'm going to lead you in that prayer to invite Jesus in your heart. Everybody's going to join in together with you. I'll give you short, simple phrases to say. I want you to make them your own. If you mess up on a couple words, don't worry about that. It's not about the words of your mouth. It's about the expression of your heart right now. Even online, if you're giving your heart to the Lord, you can pray this prayer with us. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and everybody say this out loud together in faith. Say, Father God, I come to you today in Jesus' name. I give you all of my heart and all my life. I surrender. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin, cleanse me of my past, and give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that He came and died and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Let it be known that from this day on, I am saved. I'm a Christian. I'm born again, headed for heaven. Denying hell, I'm following you. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey guys, welcome to the family. We're so excited for you. Now listen, when I first gave my heart to the Lord, I was 15 years old. As you heard, I had a praying mama. She took us to church. Some of you guys were drug babies. You were drugged to church, right? And I was one of those babies that was taken to church from a young age. But you know what? I gave my heart to the Lord, and everything changed in my life. The sun was brighter. The birds were chirping louder. Even the smog looked better. It was amazing. But I needed something, and that is I needed a friend. I needed someone to encourage me, teach me some things out of the Bible, help me to get strong and consistent in the ways of the Lord. And so this is my friend, Pastor Joel, over here waving at you. Really good guy. Nothing weird's going to go on. You know, sometimes you go to church, you wonder, are they weird? Are they going to hit me up for money? Listen, none of that. He just wants to give you some free stuff, connect you with a friend here at the church that'll help you to get strong in the ways of the Lord. And then after a couple minutes of time, he'll let you go. If your children are in the children's ministry, they're safe. Your friends and family will wait for you. Just make a left turn and follow Pastor Joel for a couple minutes right this way. Come on, let's give him a hand as they go. Hallelujah. Come on, church, let's encourage our new brothers and sisters. Let's give the Lord a great big praise. Well, ladies, happy Mother's Day. We love you, and we're so grateful for you. On your way out, make sure to get that gift. We got a little sticker for you guys, as well as some lemonade. There's the photo ops out there. Take advantage of all that, and know that we are so grateful for you, and we bless you this weekend. Also, tonight, we're going to be praying the prayer of faith and anointing with oil with the laying on of hands. It is a simple yet powerful act, and it just is an impartation of what God is doing in that moment to your life. And so everybody that comes tonight, we're going to pray over them. Listen, I know it's called Mother's Day Blessing. It's not just for the mothers. It's for every child of God, okay? We're going to pray that prayer of faith and believe God for your protection. We've been doing this since the shooting at Columbine. And at the shooting down the street, the IRC shooting that happened, One of our members was actually in the room. They were just with us last week. They moved out to Florida, but now they were back in town. They're still alive and well. Why? Because the protection and the blessing of God was over their life. And so tonight, 6 p.m., we're going to impart that blessing and protection over your life. If you're here, if you're not here, just get some Crisco and anoint yourself, okay? Praise the Lord. God's good. Love you guys. Let me bless you. Would you lift your hands, Lord, even online? Come on. Let me bless you right now. Father, these are your children, your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming, and blessed going. We bless all the moms this weekend, God. And Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare out loud on purpose and in faith that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.